This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. Thanks for tuning and listening. This is a QPR podcast where we talk everything QPR FC, good, the bad, the ugly, normally the latter. But actually, this week, there may actually be some good in the podcast. That didn't come out right, actually, but you know what I mean. Positivity. A win on Saturday, which is good. Some transfers. All stuff that we normally don't get to talk about. So we've got to try and cram it in for an hour. So we're going to, before we crack on the pod today, well, a win and a few transfers and everyone wants to come on. All the norms want to come back. Hey, Jack?
Little T. Yeah, how you doing, lad? Good to be back on and actually quite refreshing to have some good stuff to talk about, you know. So hopefully not as depressing as previous weeks. So yeah, looking forward to it.
To be fair, you did say you were going to come on before the win. So, yeah, I'll let you off that one, mate. You good though, mate, yeah?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Yeah, nice one.
Good, good. Dunk, you all right, mate?
I'm all right, mate. I'm here every single week. Come rain, shine, wins, losses, everything.
Gareth Ainsworth's.
Well, that tested me to my absolute limit, was having to come on every week to moan about him. But I'm not getting into Ainsworth. It's not worth it anymore.
Probably best today. And Chris, regular now, mate. You okay, bud?
All good, boys. Yeah, very excited to get into a discussion of a win. And there was a lot of excitement around QPR at the moment. Not many other clubs who are in the relegation zone throughout the country probably feel as positive or hopeful as us, I guess.
That's true. And I've got lots I want to get through. Obviously, we want to talk about transfer window, Blackburn. I've got a little chat on Sinclair that I want to go through, Field. Maybe chat through the Kelman theory of why he got an extension. Seems a bit odd, but maybe not. We've got a signing today, Anderson. We've got a big week coming up next week. Really big week, actually, with the three games. I think that's going to be huge. We'll chat about that. We'll talk about the player of the season poll. We talk about Brad being in the know. or not in the know. But we can try and have a chat about that. But anyway, transfer window. We talk about that. We got told no signings. We're sat here today with four new signings. All under 30. All look like they're going to add something to this team. I mean, it would have been difficult not to, but... It's interesting that there wasn't, we didn't think there were, we were told there was going to be no signings. Then all of a sudden, we've now got four through the door. I don't know whether that's a feeling that there's a chance that we can stay up and add in a few will add to that. Whether a couple of the deals were really cheap and that they came about on transfer deadline day. I'm not sure, maybe a bit of both. But good news, Jack. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, it was... a real pleasant surprise, weren't they? I was sort of when we did the Frey transfer, I was like, well, we've done something. That's not bad. Let's see how he goes. I mean, he hadn't played a lot this season, but Dizel's wage must have been quite substantial if you get four players in off the back of it. No, all joking aside, I think he's they did well to move him on. I think they tried and persevered with Dizel, and if it was going to create a bit of space, was it Duke McKenna as well went out on loan and Kelman's gone out alone. Now, if those wages are being covered, then it makes sense how we've had a bit more room to manoeuvre. But again, I think because we left it late, am I right in thinking that maybe we're not covering as much of the loan wages of some of these players? And is that why, you know, it's done last minute? It's because you can get some of these, you know, you get a little deal here and there. And maybe in the, you know, Hayden's, you know, under contract at Newcastle still. So I imagine he's on a good wage. Now, if we've got him for peanuts, then what an astute bit of loan signing business that would be. I mean, Hodge is another one. Maybe Gary O'Neill's, don't know how much sway he's got on the transfer side of balls, but in one weekend, he loaned us a player that got us a winning goal and he beat Chelsea. So, I mean, he's done all right there as a former R. But, you know, really keen to see how some of these guys settle in. I think we'll touch on Blackburn in more detail, but, you know, real positive impression of a couple of them. And kind of keen to see how Frey and Lucas Anderson, who got announced today, sort of develop and once they get up, you know, match fitness, how they can complement the squad. I mean, we needed bodies in. The bench, even at Blackburn, looked so much better, like so much more healthy, so much more, you know, stacked. We haven't got an embarrassment of riches still, not denying that, but to have options is key. And, you know, especially tail end of the season, like, you know, you'd expect that these might make a difference, these guys. I mean, I think four signings when we thought we were going to get none. What an absolute treat. Bonus. Let's just hope it is all, you know, compliant with the financial situation. I'm sure it is after the new CEO emphasised it in his first interview about no signings and got to be careful. Let's hope, you know, they've worked a bit of magic here with the books and it's all above board. But, you know, my initial impression, really pleased, really good to see the squad, you know, get beefed out a little bit.
Yeah. So we've got Lucas Anderson, Zyke Hayden, Joe Hodge and Sebastian Frey. I think like just to go on a couple of your points about the wages and that, I think we're led to believe, I don't know, take from that what you will, but the rumour is the wages of the two loans are minimal, just very minimal. And I think there might be a bonus agreement if we stay up. So we managed to work that. And that was always the case, wasn't it? When we were talking about transfers, that it would always be towards the end of the window because that's when players become cheaper. Historically, that's been the case. And it looks like that's been the case. Maybe a couple of favours with Gary O'Neill and Ruben at Newcastle. I think that they're quite close, aren't they, with Amit? And I don't know whether there's been a bit of a... Because I remember Jeff Hendrick was quite a cheap deal in the, for us as well last minute. So I wonder whether there's something in that. But Dunk, I mean, what do you think forced the board's hand, so to speak? Or do you think that they weren't planning on getting selling Dizel or moving him on and it just came and maybe that freed up some wages?
Yeah, I think with Dizel, you can't imagine it was planned because he hasn't really been a standout for us this season. So I can't imagine Birmingham have caught, oh, he's been absolutely amazing. Let's see if we can get him. So I think it was...
They've obviously sent a scout to QPR, aren't they? All of last season.
Oh, they must have watched one game that we absolutely smashed someone and that's it. Like, what have they seen that we haven't? But it's just, yeah, to get Dizel off the books and get someone like Hayden and Hodgin, like, they're both, for me, an instant upgrade on Dizel. Like, Hayden looked assured. I know he's not fit, but when he came in, he looks a steady player. He's a big unit. He's going to put himself about, like, all the stuff we moaned Dizel didn't do. Like, I can't see him going to go missing in many games. Whereas with Dizel, we said he wasn't even on the pitch half the time. Obviously, Hodge looks decent. But like you said, like, I don't think anything's necessarily triggered it apart from the fact Dizel's gone and there is some wages there. Or have they got to the end of January? They kind of thought, well, we've made some cuts. We've made some dodgy name in the toilet block or something. It's got a bit of extra money in. Like, have they just fiddled some kind of little sponsorship deal here, there, everywhere? The coffee, the people bought a lot of coffee. That's just like giving us a little bit of money to say we'll pay 5% of their wages or something. I don't know where it's come from, but like Jack said, as long as we're not breaching anything, it all looks very positive.
Chris, anything to add to the transfer window, mate?
I think on the thing I was going to say on the wages aspect is, or getting two loans full stop, we, given the football that we've shown we can play under the new manager, clubs, well, just the Wolves one as an example, Wolves are more willing to give us Hodge on loan than, obviously, if this was under Ainsworth. Because there's a degree to which you know you're playing good football, so he's going to benefit from that. Whereas if the ball was just going all over it, going up over his head all the time, then Wolves are going to turn around and be like, no. Or if you want him, you can pay a lot more. But that's the difference. And that's where I think we have to be in that position to go, look, we don't want to depend on loans, but we were in a desperate position where we needed them. But we are going to give your player and you as a team value out of that player coming to us. And yeah, I mean, sort of phenomenal story that steps in, scores within kind of like 7 minutes coming off the bench. The fact that he plays with Sinclair for the Republic of Ireland under 21s, I think, is a big plus. Just so he has some familiarity with someone in the squad, but also, and I'm sure we'll come on to him, but for Sinclair as an individual as well, then he's at least having a little bit of connection with someone he has played with before. And I mean, we may as well talk about his goal now. For weeks, we've been talking, okay, what do we need in central midfield? We either need someone who controls the game on the ball all the time, or, and you've said this a lot, Ben, we need that box-to-box midfielder who's going to make those bursting runs. Jack said, how many times do we need a field or Dizel running onto a ball on the edge of the box? It wasn't like that, but it was the perfect run from that position. I mean, the centre-back split massively. Great ball through to him, and he finishes it really well.
He looks like he's got high energy. I don't... Dizel was never done it for me. I think I made that quite clear. There's a half player in there in relation to his ability to, or seeming ability to pass the ball, but he never executed it enough. He always went hiding when the going got tough, noticeably hiding as well. And not just that, he's box to box. He was definitely not a box to box midfielder, right?
No.
What was he? I don't like describe him as a midfielder. I'm struggling to understand what midfielder he was like.
He sort of just existed.
How would you describe him?
He's an odd one because he wanted to like play deep, but he doesn't have the defensive nous to play there. You can't play him behind a striker because he doesn't like. He's not got a killer instinct in front of goal. We haven't seen that killer pass too often, so you're not sure if he's really number 10. And he's not box to box because he doesn't seem to have the legs. Yeah. So back and forth. And I've seen him sprint and he had a turn of pace. I remember, can't remember like when it was a couple of seasons ago, but he like ran half the length of the pitch to make a goal saving tackle. I was like, you just don't see that. You see flashes of him. And you say it's half a player there. And you think,
yeah,
there's the makings of something, but he just never really kicked on. And I just don't know. Maybe all the changes of managers didn't help him either. And changes of system. And there's all sort of factors. But just from, the eye test, from just a fan point of view, from my side, I just didn't really rate him, to be honest. And I'm kind of glad he's gone. And as Dunk said, the two guys we brought in got a bit of Premier League quality about them.
Yeah, Hayden, he looks like he could be a player. I mean, obviously, he's got a few injury issues, hasn't he? And I'm not sure he's fully fit. But what that does is, and we put a tweet out over the weekend, it kind of puts a bit of pressure on Field now, right? Because I think he was one of the first names on the team sheet over the last, 2 years. Rightly so, because he has been excellent. He's last season's player of the year. I don't think he massively fits into Marty's style, of keeping the ball, and he has to think more about his passing rather than trying to intercept and tackle, which he obviously still needs to do. But when he's getting the ball, much more, 10 times in a minute rather than, once or twice, that's a big difference, a big change of style and ability. But I still think that there'll be a lot that, at the moment, I still would pick him in the team. It's just who he would play alongside. Don't know what anyone thinks on that. I know we got a bit of heat, didn't he, on Saturday. We didn't miss him, which we didn't, but
I think the problem is, like, Hayden's not fit. So he's not going to come in and play 90 minutes straight away every week, is he? So, and it's like we said, we've got like a lot of games coming up. So there's going to be a bit of rotation, isn't there? But saying that, I put down that Field and Dykes were the two people I think could be struggling to maintain a place.
Do we think that's Marty? Do we think he's not as harsh to say he's you know, realise that maybe they're not good enough, which obviously isn't the case, but maybe he's thinking, I don't know, because they were pretty untouchable players before we came, right?
Well, I think, like we said, we've said numerous times, haven't we, that Field really suited an Ainsworth-style team. Like, sitting there, not having a lot of the ball, doing like a lot of just the shielding, not just get the ball and try and hit a channel. Like, Samfield, we can, like, could kind of do that. And that's when he obviously got the player of the season thing. But he can't, he's not suited to Marty's style, like you said.
Isn't Sebastian Frey the kind of, I mean, look, we've only seen snippets. Michael Frey, sorry. Who's Sebastian Frey? Do you know what? He's the
goalie.
He's the keeper. Michael Kent, they look pretty similar. So they, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a completely different style of player. They look like they play a similar way, which would be a worry for Lindon, I would have thought. I'm not sure about him in that number 10 role. I know he had a good game at Millwall, but I wasn't at the time, really.
I just think if he was still on the pitch, would he have made the same run Hodge did? Man, not a chance. I think that's the massive difference, isn't it? He doesn't understand how to play that number 10 role. He struggles to play the number 9 role. Like, that's why I said I feel like his place is there under threat, because you can't drop Sinks because he's so dangerous as an option, and he offers us that stretching of the defence and gives us an outlet. Dykes doesn't give us that.
I think I think it's a good point. I mean, it's right to ask the question, like, do these players who have been stalwarts for the last few seasons, do they fit in this new style? And I think they've both struggled at times to sort of find a place in the team where it suits their, you know, their abilities. Problem with Field, you can't fault his application, his effort. He's been one of the only players in the last couple of years during the tough times to, like, really kind of keep turning up, injury-free, you know, always available, you know, puts in a great shift. The only issue is, he's the first name on the team sheet. He's the first name in the ref's book. And the problem is, when that happens, we're losing for two games. We were left with Dizel, Dixon Bonner, Colback. Now we've got Hayden, who's almost like a like-for-like with maybe a bit more ability on the ball. Yet, reserve judgment there. But his history suggests yes, because of over 100 Premier League appearances, more than that, and a handful of Championship as well, promotions. He's obviously one of those players in that maybe Sean Derry mould that you don't notice, but when they're on the team, they make a huge difference because they're quite tidy on the ball as well as being good defensively. And I have a suspicion Hayden will be like that for us. Colback's another one who likes to get a booking suspension, as we know, but he's actually played pretty well the last two or three games and sort of has, I think, cemented his place in that midfield. But when he goes out, I would have thought that's where Phil might come in, or a Hayden injury. But right now, not sure how he starts.
But we've said this for ages, right? This team that we've had over the past 18 months isn't good enough. It hasn't been good enough. There's been good displays at times and maybe a good goal here and there. But really, you know, if you're looking at it, your Dykes, your Field, your Jimmy Dunn's, your Ozzy Kakai's, they're just not the Zells. They're just not good enough, are they? They haven't been good enough, right? There's no getting away from that. I'm just looking at it thinking, I wonder whether Marty, obviously Kekai's been in all the training videos that I've seen in the last 2 weeks. He's there training. So I don't know whether he's fit. I don't know. And I'm not sure if Jimmy Dunn gets in this side, if everyone's fit. I don't know if he's anywhere near it. Dizel's out. with the signings we've made, I question whether we're going to see Chris Willock properly. I don't know. That's another one. I know he started, but I think when Anderson's fit and Smith's fit, fully fit, I don't know. I'm not sure we're going to see him as the season goes on. Could be wrong. Don't know what anyone thinks on that.
I think we're all having these debates about individual players. I just think that's a massive benefit. We now are actually having these debates rather than, God, we've got one possible option off the bench. I really hope this 11 players just stay fit and they can not get suspended or injured for 90 minutes every game. Like, that to me is just a huge benefit. Yeah. Makes the players need to step their level up because there's more competition for their places now. Like we said, for ages, Dykes knew he was going to play every game up front because there was no other option. Mm. Then Sinclair played, so Dykes played this other role. He adjusted well enough in that role for a short period of time, but it's a short period of time fix. It's not, oh, well, he's now going to play in that role for the whole of the season because we've got other people who can play in that. So, yeah, I'm just looking at this overall as a positive. I'm reserving my judgment about Isaac Hayden a lot because Norwich fans think he's absolutely useless and they saw him for a longer period of time. Can he come in and do a job for us? Hopefully. That's what we want. And if he plays a set role, which is basically win the ball, sit in front of that back four, but give the ball forward, because that to me is the only difference thing that we want from him and Sam Field. To be able to get the ball on the turn, one, two touch, right, it's off. Whereas Field is either worried to do that because he's like, not sure, three touches and I'll play it sideways to be safe. That's the element for me. But yeah, this is, like I said at the start, we're just far more hopeful now from every aspect. And that's what we needed. We needed hope, ultimately.
What you could do, I mean, before we quickly go on to Blackburn, with Field, what could benefit him is being further back and being a proper number six, if you like, real DM, and then push the rest of the team up, Cole back, yeah, and Hodge in front of him, up, chair up, you know, whoever's on the right up, so we can push him much further deeper so he's not in those final thirds trying to create, which he can't do. But anyway, we'll move on to Blackburn then. Great win, great performance. I thought that, before we go on to you, Dunk, I thought that we started quite sloppy in the first 10-15 minutes, which we have done quite often this season, even under Marty. We're quite solid, but we do start really slow, which I thought was the case on Saturday. But I thought once we got going and got in the team, got some passing sequences going, I thought for 60 minutes, I thought we were the better side, 50, 60 minutes, and then it's all panic stations, isn't it, after, a little bit after the goal goes in. But again, defensively, another good performance. You know, look where we are in the league. We don't concede many goals, and conceding one away from home is going to happen often. So, yeah, I was quite happy. I was happy with Sinclair. I know he's got a bit of stick, and we can talk about that in a minute, but he can do that every game, you know, because he will score goals if he does get in those positions. But a promising performance, Doug.
Yeah, and I think it's telling, obviously, in Marty's post-match that he said that, like, for the first 70 minutes, we were much better the team. And like you said, maybe the first 60 minutes after that 10-minute spell at the very beginning where both teams were kind of feeling their way into it. Once we'd kind of settled down and got our rhythm, it only looked, I was watching it, I was thinking, there's only one team I can see going on to win this, and that was us. I felt Blackburn were really poor on the day. And I know they've been in a bit bad form, but I actually think that we made them look bad because we were playing quite well for a change. Like you said, Armstrong definitely caused them problems and he definitely gave us an option. But like we said, we are going to talk about him a bit later. He needs to get that clinical edge. Otherwise, that game could have gone differently. We've all seen how that can play out before where we miss chances, like the Watford game.
Yeah, but remember though, right, he's raw. He is raw. Like, you can't say he's raw and then forget it when he misses when he is raw, right? You know what I mean? Like, he isn't clinical at the moment, and his decision making isn't always the best, but there's not many strikers that can get in the positions that he can get in, right, out there, that we can afford anyway, right? And I know that he needs to be better at finishing and stuff, but I think it will come. I'm confident it will come.
It kind of felt, especially in that first half, that he was at a point to prove. He has now an extra competition for that starting striker role, and it felt like he was trying too hard. Like, he was trying to take people on, trying to shoot from every angle, not taking the sensible, like, easier option. Like, there was a chance in the first half where he broke down the left. Willock's screaming for the ball on the right-hand side. If he played a pass, Willock's got a tap in. Like, you could see Willock went mad. And the problem is, we know how important Chris Willock firing is. So if he gets a tap in, that boosts his confidence, then we get a better Chris Willock.
Yeah, I tell you what he does, though.
It's
right?
Margin, isn't it? Because it worked, we won. But there's other times when...
I'm telling you now, centre-backs do not want to play against him, right? What he's doing, we're playing Norwich, right? I guarantee their team are going to be like, right, they're going to play a different way. They'll play a bit deeper. Because, and whilst that doesn't maybe benefit Sinclair enough, maybe that they will make space for us in around the pitch that maybe might not have been there if Dykes was there coming in, trying to get it, right? And taking the space for the creative midfielders to do something. Maybe it'll make Chair. I don't know. I thought if he gets in those positions all day, I think he will score and it will cause problems. And he assisted the second goal as well.
Yep. It was a bit of a lucky assist, wasn't it? Because he tried to do the player, didn't he? And he got the lucky ricochet. It bounced kindly for him. He got that luck, which we don't always get. Do you know what I mean? We don't always get that luck. 9 times out of 10, that could have bounced out for a throw-in. But he got that little bit of luck and then played the good part. It was a good pass. And the defenders, like Chris alluded to earlier, they parted like the Red Sea. Like, Hodge had the whole of Ewood Park to pick his spot to score. But it was a good pass and good run from Sinclair anyway. But the thing has got on my head. I wrote it down. It's like that Gattuso quote, you know, where he goes, he's sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Like, it's just, that's what you get with Sinclair. You get a really good bit, but then you could also get, like, this chance in the second half where he's clean through. And he takes an absolute horrendous touch. And like, it's those kind of, that in other games have cost us. Maybe I'm being hard on him. I don't know.
Well, no, I think you're right in a sense that, like Watford, for example, cost us a little bit, you know, in a game like that. I think I'm with Ben. I mean, it's not his fault. He's learning on the job this season in all these starting matches, you know. Like the season before, he was injury prone and he was coming off the bench and he couldn't get a rhythm going. So he's not going to learn to, you know, as much as he can when he's starting every week like he is now. So he's going to make these mistakes on QPR's time on our, you know, in time where we need decisiveness and we need to take our chances. But that's just where we are at the moment. And he is a player that is going to stretch teams, especially away from home. The player that scares the life out of defenders. I mean, he draws fouls, cards. He's starting to, I think he's maturing with every game. Mm. I think you're seeing better decisions from his reactions to things not going his way. I think he's barely offside now. I mean, that is a hell of an improvement in his game. That, and, you know, compared to where he was, you know, look, we're seeing tangible development here. So if they can, my worry with him is that we're going to develop him and he's going to go on a free. So I'd really like if there is a way of getting in, you know, tie it down to a long-term deal and really get behind him and say, right, this is our striker now. Let's get behind him for the foreseeable. But while the contract's up in the air, you don't really know how that's going to go. It's another bright Isaiah Samuel situation. But on Blackburn, you know, it's well documented how long it was since we won. October 99 under Jerry Francis, last time we won there. We'd gone 12 games in a row without a win at Ewood Park. And I think 4 of the 16 players that appeared at the weekend for QPR weren't born. The last time we'd won there, I mean, Armstrong, Hodge, Larkesh and Dixon Bonner all had pretty decent contributions at Blackburn. I think, you know, Lancashire, for some reason, has become a happy hunting ground for QPR since that Blackpool 6-1 shellacking, won our last 3 away trips to Lancashire, beating Blackburn, Preston and Burnley. And that's as many Lancashire wins as in the previous 32 away trips. So, you know, it's an incentive there for away fans to keep going. Up north, if you're going from the south. I mean, and just on Hodge, well, you know, just got a stat up in front of me. I tweeted they was the youngest since Paul Smith to score in his debut for QPR in 2018. And both those games ended 2-1 with both those players getting the second goal in the 2-1 wins. But Hodge was the youngest player to make his debut in an away game and also score since Mark Perry versus Barnsley in 1996. Ooh. He was 17. I think he might have got a brace. I'll check that. But yeah, not often a player that young, you know, makes his debut for QPR away from home and school. So,
decent. Jack, I've got something, and I don't know if you know this or if anyone knows this who's listening, but they had the they were talking about on TalkSport the Chelsea game. You know, the Kuna scored a hat trick, and they were, you know, you have to go back years and years for the last person to score a hat trick at Stamford Bridge. Well, I mean, who is the last strike player to score a striker opposition at Loftus Road? Do you know that?
What was the question?
Who was the last opposition player to score a hat trick at Loftus Road? I was thought this, and I've tried to find have a look, and I couldn't.
Did Aguero score a hat trick against us? Aguero or Suarez?
You have to check that.
Anyway,
I felt like we always have really good games versus City, but I feel Aguero is just ridiculous.
Nah, it's in my head somewhere. Like someone has, and I just couldn't get
It's obviously. I don't know why it's coming to my head. Do you remember Andy Cole scored that trick when he was
old? Yeah, I was going to remember that day. Yeah,
obviously,
that was bad.
What happened since then? Probably something like Naki Wells, you know what it's like. But I don't think he scored that trick against us. He never scored one for us, didn't he? At Loftus Road. I'll have to dig that one up and I'll get back to you on that one. But yeah, I think just overall, the black, you know, the new guy's impact. I mean, I really like Luka Hodge. I don't want to get too excited or fall in love with loan players, but he could be getting added to the list of, you know, Naki Wells, Mark Kennedy, Jimmy Smith, those sort of loan players that came in and were awesome. So, yeah, we'll see. But he looks decent, doesn't he?
Kyle Walker.
Oh, God. We still claim him like he's ours, don't we?
He goes into everyone's team. He's in my best ever team. He only played like for 6 months.
Well, it was him at Wayne Routledge as well that season as well.
Oh, Wayne Routledge.
Oh, I was so disappointed we never signed him permanently in the summer when we weren't got promoted that year. We got Sean Wright Phillips instead. Brilliant.
Oh, what could have been.
Chris, anything to add, mate, on the Blackburn game?
No, I think we covered it really well. Yeah, I think on the Armstrong point, I think, yeah, there might have been his critics, but I think he played great. Actually, yeah, you take the bad stuff with him because, like we said, he's causing so many problems. And just looked up Norwich's centre backs for the weekend, Shane Duffy and Ben Gibson. They don't want to be playing against him. I feel like we say this about a centre back every single week in this league, though. That's going to be.
But they'll be weary of him, won't they, Chris? Right, and they'll be wanting to push back a bit, right? And that will cause space, it should do anyway, right? And then that's where we should be taking advantage of that space. But like you said about the offside, it's such a good one. He doesn't need to be offside, does he? He's got so much pace. He could probably give the defenders, especially those type of defenders, two. Because that's on. I've noticed that whenever you come up in the Championship, you come up against old centre backs. I don't know why, but I've noticed it in the last few weeks. Probably because it's Sinclair Armstrong. But
well, if Armstrong was up front for Norwich, we wouldn't want him up against Steve Cook, would we?
No.
You say
you'd be worried going in.
But Cook's got that experience player, isn't he? Like, he's an experienced centre back. Like, it was when we played Southampton and Bednarak like pocketed Sinclair, didn't he? He's got that bit more international experience, that Premier League experience. He knew how to handle him.
Mm-hmm.
It is, like Ben said, like the older Championship defenders who are going, oh, I've had my days in the Premier League 10 years ago. I'm now 35 and I'm knackered. I don't want to be chasing the 20-year-old.
By the way, on that hat-trick thing, I think... Che Adams got one in 2019 for Birmingham. Remember when we missed the penalty to go 4-4?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was that game. But then, I don't know if that's the most recent one, but then just a few years before that, I know Kemar Roofe got one for Leeds in 2017 as well. But, just a couple that come up. But, it's not like one weekend. Yeah.
A quick one on Dixon Bonner. I don't know what anyone's... I know we sort of touch with him every week, but... I'm really, really indecisive with him. Like, 1 minute, I think he's, like, not great. And he's only good because he's better than Dezelle and he offers more on the ball than any other centre midfielder that we've got. And actually, I thought against Huddersfield, I know we haven't talked about it much, but I thought he was really poor when he came on. He did the opposite of what he was supposed to do when he came on, which was to keep the ball. He looked like a hot potato. It looked like the occasion got to him a little bit. But then on Saturday, then I thought he did all right. I thought he did good. I don't know.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But there are issues with him in there. It's, I don't know, I feel like I'm being a bit harsh on him because I don't know if he'll play much now.
Was anyone good against Huddersfield, though? Let's be honest. Like, we haven't touched on it, probably, because it was such a bad game. Like,
we put too much on that game. When you think about it, there was still, how many games? 17 after then. Like, still a lot of the season to go. Like, I think we just built it up so much that it just ended up putting so much pressure on the players. I don't think that helped anyone.
Don't know. No, it's interesting as well that that's the third game since Marty's been in charge where we could have got out of the relegation zone and we haven't. Like, it seems like you said, that pressure, it's pressure, the mentality, it's that we're almost out, lads. We can do it today. We do it today. And like, we put too much on it. The fans are nervous. We have that like nervous energy in the ground. Like, it's just, and you just, like, it was an awful game. We literally let Huddersfield time waste for as long as they wanted. And
poor ref, though, wasn't it again?
Love poor ref. That's the championship. You expect it now, don't we? That's the problem.
But saying that, most weeks we'd have lost that 1-0, 2-0 probably. So, you know, to go and get, I agree with Marty a little bit. You're not going to play well every day. We were poor. We managed to get a draw. You know, that gives us some sort of hope, right?
Yeah, and I think getting the draw like is better than conceding for the draw. Like, if we'd gone 1-0 up and then drew, it's a bit more of damaging, isn't it? Like, when you lose, when you've not played well and you get the draw the last minute, like, you don't deserve the points. So to get a point is a bonus.
Well, it could be an important point because, you know, that win at Blackwell, beating, you know, Millwall, beating Blackburn, like, we're sucking the teams in a little bit. It's not just us and Huddersfield, which it seemed like it would be, you know, it's like a six team sort of mini league almost, you know. There are teams like Blackburn getting that like, sucked in. So, yeah, important couple of, you know, sequence of games of points, just got to keep the run going. But Dixon Bonner, I think he's a useful player. I think he's got more in him to be a more effective squad player than a Dizel or an Amos overall. I think he just shows a bit more in his game. I know Amos had a little streak of goals. But Dixon Bonner has threatened, actually, isn't he? You know, he does get a shot away and he's been quite close a few times. But you want to see a couple go in now and just see if he can, you know, develop that side of his game. But yeah, I think he's a work in progress. But I think he's a decent sort of third, fourth, fifth choice option. Whereas before he was, especially like he was starting to become a starting player, wasn't he? So, yeah, decent squad. Yeah.
No, I agree. I quite like him. It's like in a weird way. I feel like he offers, like we said, more than just, well, because like you're saying you don't know how you feel about him. And I kind of feel like I feel like he's good. Or maybe I'm thinking I think he's better than he is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he offers us an option that Dizel, Field and Colback didn't. Like, in the sense that he would break the lines a little bit more. He'd look to go forward. He'd look to make those runs. Obviously, now we've got like someone like Hodgson who's going to be that player. We won't probably see Dixon Bonner as much. But I feel like he has something to offer us.
I feel like he's not brave enough. That's what I know what it is now. He's not brave enough. Like, he's sometimes like he's just excited to be on the pitch and be picked and be there. Like, and give me the ball and I'll pass it. But like, I want more from him. I want him to like, and that's due to a lack of experience. I don't know how old he is, 21, 22. And I don't think he's had like more than 20 games or something. So maybe I'm being harsh, but I don't know. I just want him to do more to be in this team rather than just be okay or half decent. And do you know what I mean? Am I being harsh, Chris?
I think you might be being a bit harsh, but I think maybe that just shows the, well, our increased level recently, that we now are demanding more than we were before. I think I'm never really disappointed when he comes on. I think when we're struggling in games, or we're behind, or we're pushing for a goal, he will come on and instantly want the ball, want to create, want to up the pace. That is a massive positive for me because, I mean, yeah, we mentioned Dezelt probably more times on this podcast since he's left on loan than we did beforehand. But he never did that, did he? And that's what we wanted. If an emergency situation where we're pushing for a goal and he comes on at right back because he can get the ball in that position, it's not a desired option, but it's an option for us. And again, I don't feel that bad because he can be fairly creative in that position to help us. So, I can see him being a decent squad player with us for a while.
Okay, let's see.
But I was just on last thing on Dixon Bonner. I think it's interesting that as soon as Marty came in, Dixon Bonner kind of came in out of nowhere. Like, he hadn't got a sniff under Ainsworth, had he? And we've said, obviously, about Marty getting rid of people like Dizel, Kelman, Ozzy not being in the picture recently. He obviously sees something that he can get him to play in the system he wants. So I think that's maybe like a football intelligence kind of thing.
We bang on about that back four, right? But back five, actually. Begovic has been half decent, I think, you know, and he's part of that back five. I'm still convinced if we can keep that back five playing 90% of the games from now, we'll stay up. I am, but it's just whether we can. We're doing it so far, but I don't know. I just think they're pretty solid. I know. I think Salter's been brilliant. Cook, excellent. Kenneth Powell, excellent. We did the player of the season poll, didn't we? And obviously them three were in it along with Chair. Surprisingly, Ilias Chair won nearly over 1,000 votes, and he got 30% of the votes ahead of Clark Salter, Kenneth Powell third, Cook fourth.
I voted for Cook in that.
I voted for Clark Salter.
I think
either those two centre backs. I mean, Clark Salter, start on him. I think what a player when he's fit. He's so sure. Reads the game so well. Like, passing generally is pretty, you know, it's pretty good, pretty progressive. He's a pretty good one-on-one defender as well. Like, you don't see him getting beaten too much, you know, when someone's trying to take him on. I think he's very assured. He's really good. He's really, really pleased that he's starting to, you know, get a run of games. I mean, he's nearing 1,500 minutes in the Championship this season, which is over 300 more than last season. And he's featured in 12 games under Cifuentes, which is more than any other QPR manager that Clark Salter has appeared under. So he's getting a rhythm going and he seems to, you know, suit the style. But for me, I went Cook just because of the difference he makes. You know, I know you posted some stats recently of his impact, and we all know that, you know, when he plays, we win and concede less. It's quite obvious, you know, it's plain to see the leadership skills he brings. He puts his body on the line, but he's also good on the ball. He's quite, you know, composed, and he's got a nice range of passing on him, and something I don't think I fully appreciate from watching Steve Cook from afar. But, you know, QPR unbeaten in the last 7 games that Cook has started, 1-4, drawn 3. You know, and he started 10 times under Cifuentes, and QPR have lost just once, and that was against Norwich. We play soon, so hopefully that again doesn't repeat itself. But for me, Cook, you know, if I completely agree, if that back four can stay fit, even if Powell's been a little bit hit or miss, I feel recently,
he's got a bad game in him, hasn't he? That's the thing with Kenneth Powell. Like, he'll be good 3 games out of 4 in a month, but then he'll have one bad game where he's, I don't know, he seems to lose his head a little bit.
He's our second top scorer. He still contributes in pretty important moments. But that back five, Begovic, again, I'm not sold on Begovic just yet. I think there's a ricket in him every game, but he's made some good saves and a decent amount of clean sheets. And again, that back five's got legs for me. I think if they can run with that to the end of the season, I agree with you. I think we'll be in a pretty good position.
Chris, were you one of the chair voters?
I wasn't actually. Yeah. I went for Kenneth Powell.
Did you?
But equally, I can understand why Chair won. Like, no, I think I talk about him a lot in there, but I just think he is just so important for us. I think even in the games where some people might not be like, oh, he was didn't get a goal, didn't get an assist, but even Saturday, still great. Like, I just think he's so vital for us. But question off the back of that, which someone did tweet today, if we stayed up, do you think we should sell Chair in the summer? If we get offers.
I think so. Well, it depends on the offer. I mean, you'd want to keep him, but
let's put a number out. So say we get 6.5.
Yes.
Oh yes, I would. Yeah, I think.
Okay. So what's the ceiling offer you wouldn't accept?
This squad does need an overhaul to a degree. It's already started, really, hasn't it? But it does need, and the only way to do that is to get funds. Really, that we can rely on frees and loans, but really, what we want to be doing is buying some maybe younger players in the lower leagues to, because otherwise we're never going to get out of this mess. We need to be, do you know what I mean? We need to be getting people in, selling them and building a team up. I just freeze and loans, unless you get really lucky. And the problem with loans is they'll be gone in the middle. You know, it's happened so many times already. They'll be gone by January if they're any good, right? Unless you're up the top of the league, because someone will take them, right? So that's the issue with loans. And you know, you get them in January, but you're going to get an unfit. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to be getting a fully fit person in January. It's going to take a bit of time. So I think, sorry, that's my reason. Not that I want him gone, because I think he's great in the league. I just think that we need money from somewhere, and he is probably one of the only places, unless we can sell Dykes.
Yeah, I think with Chair, by the end of the season, he's, you know, he's approaching 250 appearances, or not, you know, just shy of that for QPR, which is, you know,
he deserves it as well, doesn't he?
To me, it feels like it could be the natural conclusion for his time at QPR. He gets that move in his sort of mid to late 20s and see, you know, test himself, better players in a better team, going for, you know, loftier ambitions than ours, that can actually, you know, go for promotion. I think, yeah, if it was a couple of seasons ago, post Eze, I think you're looking for north of 10 mil. But I think because the market in the Championship fell and we haven't accepted any bids like of serious money for a while, I think you're looking at that 6 ranger. I wouldn't want to sell him for that, but I think that's kind of likely where you start that cycle again of starting to sell players for money each time you go up, you know, sell them for a bit more.
But would we get 6 for him? We've got a family member who doesn't think that would happen.
No, I mean, I think he's got a body of work in the Championship now that, you know, would at least get a playoff chasing team with a bit of money, parachute payments coming down from the Premier League, want to score a player off the bench, you know.
I wonder whether the Birmingham rumour was true. I don't know if you saw it, that they had a bid rejected.
Well, they only scout at our club, don't they, now? So.
Exactly.
Yeah, we rejected that bid and we're like, but we might be willing to get Andre Gazelle if you make us a decent loan offer. We'll give
we've also you. Got a nice right back here, and an Irish international you can possibly have. That'll be nice.
But the thing with Chair is he just doesn't, like, I feel like I get frustrated with him. We all do. He gets the ball, he takes the player on, cuts back. 5 minutes later, he passes the ball or he has a shot. I feel like sometimes, as much as he has been a really good player for us, I'd rather have someone a bit like Smith down that side, who's just going to try and beat his man and whip a ball in.
Please insert all the times Dunk moaned about Smith's final ball for the first 20 weeks of this season into this bit.
No, but you're already, like, obviously someone with like better quality than Smith, but just like that, who wants to beat that man straight away? Like Chair, but problem is, like, he did it against Blackburn a little bit, where he was taking on his fullback, but actually going on the outside. Yeah. Like, a couple of times he did it. He just doesn't do it enough. He holds onto the ball too long. He slows down play too much for me. And that's the problem. And that's why I think sometimes he doesn't get the move. Because and they think, like, we're trying to play counter-attacking football or fast football. And when he takes 10 touches around the box, it doesn't help.
I'm not sure playing on the left has helped him either in his development. I think he'd much rather be a number 10 floating around the pitch. I think that's where someone would buy him. I think on the left, he has not blessed with pace. I mean, he's still obviously great, but I don't know. I'm not sure that's helped his development.
I don't know. I think that's just where number 10s play now.
Yeah,
the 10 role doesn't really exist in modern day football. You have to drift wide. It is so rare unless you are like, I mean, like Kevin De Bruyne doesn't play a number 10. I mean, he moves wherever. Chair to me is, we're not comparing them.
So we're comparing them.
You need to, but positionally wise, you need to go where you're going to get the ball more. And a 10, he'd be, you could easily be crowded out. Like, if you think the amount of times Eze played as on the left for us, like, that is how he did so well. And he's
very much always on the left, though, isn't he? Easy was the floater. He did float around over the pitch, and that's to do with the manager. Like, especially under Ainsworth, he couldn't move from the left, could he? But, I mean, Marty's given him a little bit of freedom, but he is very much... You don't often see him anywhere else on the pitch other than that left channel cutting in. I don't know. Just my observation, but...
Impressed with his work rate though, he's really putting in a shift as well. Looks a bit more tenacious, out of possession as well. So, whereas coming into January, didn't see there were times we thought you sort of questioned him a little bit, but I think there's been a slight shift maybe in attitude.
Do you think he was sulking just before Christmas because he didn't get picked for AFCON?
No, he knew all season he wasn't going. He hadn't been in the squad since June. The football we were playing isn't going to have got him in. I feel he would have had to do truly unbelievable things to get another look in there. I just feel that attacking players in the system we're in, he wouldn't have been enjoying it. I don't think he massively showed it on the pitch, because like it felt like Willock did. Because Chair was always still working on, still trying to do everything. He's still trying to do the right things. But now, like we said, people will just be enjoying their football more. I mean, fans, we're enjoying it way more. So obviously the players are.
I don't know, that last 10 minutes that came from nowhere, I wasn't enjoying.
Well, yeah. Colback was enjoying it, though. He seems to be having a laugh.
He's a bit of a wind-up, isn't he? What's this about the contracts, then? Jack, Chris, I know you've both mentioned it. What's that about, not mentioning contracts on these deals?
Is it only just happened under the new CEO? Because I noticed with Frey, they didn't announce a contract. And then loans, we know, at the end of the season. But again, Lucas Anderson, not announcing how long the contract's for. I don't know the reasoning behind it. But it just seems a bit strange, really, because that's one of the things I look out for in these statements. So, yeah.
But why would you? The transparency there's a bit weird, isn't it? Because why? I mean, we're going to realise if no one signed a contract and they're gone in June that they had. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. I don't know. Is it? You mentioned it might have been an FFP fee. I don't know. Can't see that. But
no, I mean,
unless it's like incentive bonus based, like. We'll stay if we stay up. You're a trigger clause, but until there's no point mentioning that unless it happens. Is that the kind of thing? We'll sign you on the end of to the end of the season. If we stay up, you get another year or two. If we don't, you're free to go elsewhere because we can't afford to keep you in League One. I don't know.
It's possible, but that sounds honestly too sensible. And I don't think agents would let that fly nowadays to be like, you can have a 6-month
deal. We've got a new CEO. He's doing things properly.
They're doing progressive contracts, aren't they, now? I don't know. Someone mentioned it.
On the pod. What, so your wage increases every year, you mean?
Yeah, that's what... Again, it's just rumour or what we've heard, but Cook's on a... You know, there's a couple of them that are on that to get us over the FFP line this season, and then... it progressively goes up. I don't know whether there's something in that with some of these players.
I mean, again, on one hand, it's sensible because if you're in a tight year, put more money into the years you have flex. However, when it's older players, then suddenly we could be sitting here in... Because how long was Colback's deal? It wasn't 2 years, was it?
Three, two an option, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, so... I guess if the option's ours, then it's okay. But sort of suddenly, I see the potential problem down the road where you're like, God, this is 3 years in. Now our two top earners are 37 years old. But
And they're on 60 grand a week in League One.
No FFP there, mate. It's fine.
Yeah, Chris. Colback was 2 years with an extension, I think. So God knows what triggers it. Is it the club have the power, or is it appearance incentive? Colback gets the third year. I'll be curious tonight. But
it'd be another Jeff Cameron situation where he just won't ever play that final game to trigger that extra year.
It's fine because Colback will get sent off enough times. He won't play enough games anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely
Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron, he's another one, isn't he? Like, was he any good or not? I can vaguely remember changing often. 1 minute thinking he was all right, and the next thinking he was absolutely donkey.
When he came in, I think he was great, but we didn't have someone who was doing that. Yeah. And I think that's sort of my reservation about Hayden. I see him being another one, but it's a loan deal to the end of the window, end of the summer season. Sorry. So as long as he's good in that part, happy days.
Yeah, big week this week. I feel like at the end of this next week, it might be a bit clearer. I don't know, three games. We've got Norwich at home, Stoke away, Bristol City away. All winnable, by the way. Also, all easily losable. And I could, you know, we could quite easily be sat here with 0 or 1 point at the end of it. But you know, we could. They're teams we could get at, right? They're team good opportunity for us to get some points on the board and try and claw these teams back with us. I still think, I know you said, Jack, about they are back in there, 5 points, 4 or 5 points, but that's still, you know, you get 4 or 5 points in these next games. It gives the other team still got to play three games as well. So, but you're hoping that one of them has an absolute mare. Like Blackburn didn't look great, did they? Their manager's supposedly leaving or close to leaving. They look a bit of a mess. Stoke are always a mess.
Well, yeah, probably. We're playing Stoke. So, you know, there's a perfect opportunity to
sort of win. I still think Birmingham are still, I think they'll be all right, but they're still a bit dodged. They're like wheels are on, but they could fall off at any time. You know? You know, they've got Mowbray, who gives them some sort of hope, but
do you know what though? I think now we've got our sort of strongest 11 largely available. You're right. There's nothing to fear with these teams. Like, let's go and have a go. I mean, since Cifuentes took over, like, it's early November, I think about 13th in the championship form table, if you did a table from that point. You know, a decent amount of points, not far off the playoff positions. You know, we're not as bad. We've been conditioned to think we're, like, really shit because we have been for quite a long time. But bigger picture, looking at Cifuentes' reign as a whole, we've become a fairly decent competitive championship team now. So goals are a problem.
With those shit players as well, by the way. Like,
we're saying it's all Ainsworth's fault.
Didn't wait for that one, could you?
No.
Yeah, no. So I just think, like, as you say, three winnable games, you know, QPR way will never be to win the ones you think we're going to win, you know, but let's see how we go. Let's just have a go at them. You know, nothing to fear.
No, I think, so we've got Norwich coming up at the weekend. Tough game. I mean, when I say tough, they're in form more, I think, than anything. But when we played them away, I watched it, and they didn't look at anything to fear. But we've just got to get out. We've got to get these home forms sorted. It's really annoying me because I think that we'll pick up enough points away from home. I think we'll lose some, but I think we will win some. I think the way we play and the team we've got. But if we don't sort this home form out, that's where we could find ourselves unstuck. Because I think there's some teams down there that pick up points at home. And we need to get it going. I don't know what the answer is. I know the Millwall game was good, but generally we've been very poor. And I'm not sure what the answer is, if I'm honest. I don't know. I'd like to see a bit of a different approach. Again, I'm not 100% sure what that looks like, but you know, I don't want to see Dykes in the number 10 role Saturday, I don't think. I don't know about anyone else.
Guess the fear is if you don't have him, so I'm not saying he's a natural goal scorer, but he is someone who can potentially score goals. So you sort of want more of those people on the field than you don't. So
yeah, but we need him off the bench as well.
He went off against Huddersfield because I didn't anticipate that actually being a sub because we obviously needed a goal. So it's just logical to keep your number 9 on. But I think if he didn't start and you played Hodge, I don't think anybody would be massively disappointed, shocked, or worried, whereas previously we would have.
Jack, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, I think, again, since Cifuentes took over, he's 9 home league games in the championship, won 3, drawn 3, lost 3. So
it's not too bad, is it?
Well, we'd won one of the previous 21 before he arrived at home. So yeah, he's turned it to a degree, but you're right. It's not feeling convincing, is it? Yeah, I mean, no. Some of the performances aren't convincing. We've ground out some wins. I mean, Stoke was a nice hope, you know, for the 4-2 home win, and Stoke was great. The Millwall win was solid, but we started quite dodgy, didn't we, in that game? Yeah. Huddersfield was dreadful, really poor performance. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed bag. You want a bit more consistency. You want a defined way of playing at home, don't you? You want to see us really kind of control it, look assured, you know, keep, you know, turning over chances, keep creating chances and probe the opposition, keep them penned back. Whether we can do that against a team like Norwich, again, we might end up playing a bit like the away team in that one, in all honesty. But, you know, hitting them on the counter with Sinclair, but a bit like what we did to Bournemouth in the FA Cup in the first half. But, you know, I'm confident things will start, you know, turning around. Whereas a few weeks ago, I thought we were dead and buried. So, you know, credit to the manager. He's made mistakes. He's making, you know, some subs have been a bit odd and there's been some selection issues. But like, by and large, he's done an impressive job in open play. We were quite miserly at the back, you know, in terms of XG conceded. We were very quite... Obviously, we knew it was a set piece as well. We were shipping all our goals. That seems to have, you know, started better.
We've changed it, haven't we? Have we changed our approach? Have we changed it? We've moved the people that were in the zonal positions. They've changed around. I don't know. It could just be me. It feels like, if you look at it, the people that were in man marking before and now there's been a bit of a switch around. I don't know. Clark Salt was marking someone for the last two games, but historically to that, he's been in one of those zonal positions.
And again, Cook there as well.
Yeah.
Big difference.
What do we think then, points next three games? What are you going for?
Four.
Four.
I think, yeah. Win one, lose one, draw one. Keep it simple.
What do you say, lads?
Well, that would kind of be in line with how we are, aren't we? Sort of winning as many games, losing as many games, drawing as many games under Cifuentes in that regard. But yeah, I think we'll get 4 points. In what order? No clue. I'd love to say we'd get 7. You know, have a proper run of form with the last three games with 7 points from 9 there as well. But I've got a feeling we might get a result against Norwich. And then I'd take a point at Stoke and then Bristol City, who knows? You know, Rob Dicchio in goal, please. But so I'll probably go 4, not to cop dunking too much.
Chris, yeah, what do you think, mate?
Might sit on that fence as well, but Stoke, I think the EFL highlight said Stoke haven't won in 8 home games. They look seriously shit. Almost if we were to be offered, no, it doesn't work this way. If we were to be offered 1 win out of those 3, that's the one I would take and want. Because obviously they're 5 points ahead of us. You're beating that closest rival. You're dragging them back in. Everyone was like, oh, as soon as Schumacher goes in, they'll be fine. They look awful. So
they've been awful for years, haven't they? It's just a group of players. Remember, he's got to work with the same group of players that are in the mess that they're in. It's a bit like, you know what I mean? It's not easy.
Yeah. Sort of. I'm always scared to make predictions on the pod because I don't ever want to be overly positive. But I think I'll sit on the fence and say 4 as well.
Yeah.
Is Ben going to be negative or is he going to be positive?
I don't know, mate. I literally don't. I know it's on the fence always. It could be anything. Like, we could easily get 6 points, 7 points. We could easily get none. Like, I don't know. That's harsh, isn't it? I think we'll get 2 wins. All right, that's what I All think. Right.
That would be excellent.
Yeah,
no, definitely wouldn't do that. But just quickly then, before we end, I just want to quickly end on Marty. Just quickly, a quick chat on him. I mean, he's great, isn't he? I think he's great. I think he's not perfect in relation to he makes mistakes, right? He's not immune to any criticism either. Like, I think some people think that by criticising him, you it's like we want him out, or it's an insult. But I think, like Jack, you mentioned, a couple of his decisions have been a bit off, a bit iffy, and I think he's learning on the, in the Championship as he goes on. But I like him a lot. We've got to keep him, whatever happens now.
Yeah, 100%. I'm sure I saw someone on Twitter saying about, because obviously how well he's done since he's come in, that he could be up for like Manager of the Year if he keeps us up because of how bad we were.
To us, yeah. To the outside, but to us, yeah.
Sure, I want to say, I thought...
Yeah, no, it's Gab Sutton.
I was going to say, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And like, I think it is massive. That's how progressively good he could be for us. I feel like he could be the manager we've been waiting so long for. We thought it was Mickey Beal, and that went sour. Whereas with Marty, I feel like he wants to build this project, which is us. And I feel like with the new CEO and him, I feel like we can stay up this year. Like, I think our next few seasons could look bright, as long as we don't, like, we can fend off interest in him.
Yeah, I would.
I think he's the best thing about the club this season. I think he's the players seem, you know, when you hear what they say about training and all that sort of stuff, you know, sounds very, very positive. But I just think he seems like quite a student of the game, seems quite astute. And I think he's got us playing largely with the same set of players, like got us playing like, you know, fairly good football, at least progressive football. And he's given us a fighting chance. And just like signs where like maybe he's made some of those mistakes on the job, or like Millwall away wasn't particularly great. Then we go and beat Millwall when we play him again. Like, and we made some adjustments that their manager called out that he couldn't, you know, said QPR were better because they did A, B and C. It's things that we didn't do in the previous game. Things like that. Can we do something against Norwich where, you know, we lost 1-0? I know it was a Jimmy Dunn mistake at the back, just letting the ball go over his head. But, you know, Sanfield misses a chance at the end, it could have been a different result. I'm just wondering, what has he studied about Norwich that means this week, you know, we might do something that might surprise him? And I kind of feel like he's got that in his locker, and I, you know, which is good. There feels like there's a plan. So, you know, backing him all the way. He's not beyond criticism, no one is, but he's got a lot of good credit in the bank so far for me.
Like we've mentioned, I'd imagine that he's got a lot to say with some of the players that are being out of the squad a little bit. Obviously, it's because he picks them, but, you know, moving on to Zell, you know, Kelman moving on. I'm not too sure. Well, as long as Callan stays fit, we'll see much of Ozzy. Dunn, maybe not. But these are the players that we knew. And it's frustrating when you get a new manager in who wants to see them. And before you know it, they think they're decent. You know, Nico Hamalainen effect. where every manager just thought, oh, actually, he's all right in training. And then a couple of games in, they soon realised that he's terrible and ship him off to bloody, I don't know, the Latvian league or something. I don't know where he ended up in his career. I think he's doing all right, isn't he? Now, where's he playing now? I saw him, he was holding up a medal or something. I don't know. Anyway, anything else to add on Marty? Said it all, no, covered just, it all.
Yeah.
Very, very happy. Very happy he's our manager.
Yeah.
Friend of the pod.
Yes. Yes. Cool. All right, lads. Well, look, good week. Some signings. A big week ahead. So let's hope we can get some points on the board. Some hope. And we just need to try and enjoy it for the next few days before the next round of games. But look, thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening. And have a good rest of the week. Yours.
Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.